Charlie and a few of his friends chug a couple beers and talk politics. It's better with your two beers in.
All right, how's everybody doing?
Woo! Did you like our new theme music? What? Everyone's mixed, like, I don't know. I've never heard any theme music. No, our friend Tyler made that for us.
Yeah,
thank you, Tyler. It was great.
To have,
Tyler
theme
Walker
music.
Music.
Welcome to Two Beers In. This is Cody Lindquist.
Hello.
Woo! All right, I didn't mean for there to be individual applause. You sort of milked
And
that.
This is Charlie Todd. Anyway. Oh.
We are a married couple who are veteran performers here at the UCB Theater and watch a lot of MSNBC.
Ooh, a lot. A lot. This is a great show for us. We're really excited about this show.
Tonight is a super great show. We've got a lot of great panelists. Who here did not go to the Bernie rally because they couldn't get in and came to the show?
I know, right?
Anyone? Okay, I see a couple hands.
We thought about riding through it with flyers, being like, come here when you're done.
How many people here are registered Democrats in the state of New York?
Okay. Oh, wow, that's...
How many people are registered independents in New York and can't vote? Okay.
How many Republicans?
A couple people. Oh, yeah, how many Republicans? Oh, I see one hand. Wait, it went down real quick.
How many people are... Wait, this is actually not... How many people are not registered to vote?
Well, a lot of people aren't from New York.
Right. Okay, well, I was like, wait a second. You're all... No one's here can vote, and they're just... Why are they here? I don't understand.
Well, we're going to bring up our panelists, and we're going to chug two beers on stage. We got a really
great
guest bartender.
We got to prove to you that we're chugging. If we chug it backstage, you're like, I don't know. Did they do it? We
got
to
right.
do it here. We got to show you what's up.
So let's bring out the panel and get the show started. What do you say?
Let's get the show started.
Our first guest is a writer on Wet Hot American Summer on Netflix and also Broad City and a mainstay of the UCB Theater in New York and L.A. Give it up for Anthony King.
Woo! All right, she is the spokesperson for Emily's List, former spokesperson for Al Franken. We have Jeff McIntosh.
Woo! And batting cleanup, we have MSNBC's own Steve Kornacki.
Woo! Oh, guys, I'm ready to get drunk.
We've got a tipsy. Really, really exciting guest bartender here tonight. He is... the world's number one Barack Obama impersonator. Please welcome guest bartender Nathan Mann. Woo!
The resemblance is uncanny, everyone. For those of you listening at home, the resemblance is uncanny.
All right, Nathan,
Thank you.
So excited to have you here. He's
Thank
passing
you,
out the beers.
Obama.
We're drinking Montauk
Thank
Session
you.
IPA, 4.7%. We had that last show. Nobody threw up, so should be good. All right, so we should start chugging, and Nathan, take it away.
Hello, New York. Thank you. Thank you. It's a real pleasure to be here at the UCB East. I want to thank Cody and Charlie for having me on their show.
Woo!
Two Beers In is a politically themed talk show, but I actually won't be talking about politics tonight. I want to talk about a passion of mine, and that passion is, a lot of people don't know this, but I love fast food. My wife, Michelle, she doesn't like it so much, but sometimes when I'm out of town, I do partake. And what I've prepared for you tonight is my review of a restaurant that I went to last night. I went to a Subway sandwich shop here in the city. And I'd like to read to you a review of Subway. Here we go. I entered the Subway sandwich shop on 7th Street and 1st Avenue with a moderate appetite and a slight tinge of nervous anticipation. The truth of the matter was, I hadn't had Subway in a while, and I was eager to see if they had anything new. In fact, the last time I had Subway was the night we killed Osama bin Laden.
Wow!
So...
little known fact.
Now well known. So... So what I had to do was I really had to stop and ask myself, will it hold up? Will it be as good as it was 5 years ago? And I got to tell you, as soon as I saw the menu, I knew that I would not leave disappointed. Now, for those of you folks who don't know, Subway is currently running it's making me a little nervous up here. Now, for those of you folks who don't know, Subway is currently running a promotion called Six for $6. Basically, what that means is any American can go to any participating Subway location and get one of six signature 6-inch sandwiches along with a 21-ounce fountain drink and a bag of chips for only $6. Now, that's a good deal right there. Even Michelle would agree. She'd be like, that's a good deal. So now the question becomes, which sandwich is right for me? Well, I got to tell you, it wasn't an easy choice. But I decided to go with the sweet onion teriyaki chicken on Italian herbs and cheese bread with two slices of American cheese. Let me finish. Rodney, the young sandwich artist in residence, then asked me what I wanted in terms of toppings. It is at this point that I'd like to offer a piece of advice to all the young folks out there in terms of choosing toppings for their sandwich. My strategy has always been to choose toppings in descending order of personal preference because I know that as the toppings pile up, there becomes less and less physical space for additional toppings. The toppings I chose were as follows. Lettuce. Tomatoes. Onions. Cucumbers. Pickles. Jalapenos. Green peppers, spinach, and sweet onion sauce. I paid for my food and sat down at a counter facing the front window. The first and last bite were heaven. The Doritos were okay. Overall, I would give it 5 Joe Bidens out of 5. The Subway, for those of you who wanna go check it out, is on 108th First Avenue, and it's open from Monday to Thursday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., Friday, Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1 a.m., and that's it. Eat fresh.
Give it up for Nathan Men, number one Barack Obama impersonator. Thank you, Nathan. Wow.
I don't know. I heard some rumors. Some rumors are swirling that Obama is actually going to replace Jared as the new Subway spokesperson. I don't know. Any truth to those rumors? We'll find out.
That.
We'll find out.
Maybe so. For people who might be listening to this later on a podcast, Nathan does not look like Barack Obama.
No, he is an Asian man. So I just want to give you the visual.
How is everybody feeling? Steve, are you about done there?
Yeah, am I the slow one? I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh, come on, Steve.
Yes, almost done.
Anthony, Jess, how are you feeling? Yeah, when's the last time you chugged a beer?
1983.
You were 6 years old?
I'm 6 years old. It was time to become a man, so I chugged beer.
I kept threatening to practice, and then I would forget and just drink. Mm-hmm. So it's been about a decade.
Yeah. Well, it's been since our last show. We trapped ourselves into doing this on a regular basis.
I know. And we want to change the name to, like, two long, slow, lovely drinks in. Like, we just take our time, but it's not quite as fun.
It's not as fun. Okay, we're going to start the show now, regardless of how everybody might feel.
I actually want a Subway sandwich now. I'm feeling a little...
I want some Doritos.
Yeah, that's not a good...
So we want to get the horse race out of the way up top. And, Steve, we want to go to you because you're the numbers guy, right?
Not after two drinks.
we just want to hear from you and then from the rest of the panel who you think is going to win in New York, who's going to win the primary, who's going to win in November. Predictions for all those. And also, we do not have a big board, but at least you're not going to accidentally draw a dong during the show. I want to discuss
this. It was a whale.
It didn't look like a whale. So I do want
to. Did that happen?
So yes. Steve was reporting a couple of days ago, and he drew a map of the United States of America on television. And some people think it looked like a penis and balls. Steve, so here's what I do want to ask you about the Telestrator incident real quick, because I feel like we've all seen like the weather report where the guy accidentally draws a dick on the screen when he's like doing a cold front or whatever. And like, as somebody who uses that technology regularly, did you think it couldn't happen to you? Were you, and you didn't realize you had done it,
right?
You
know, like it wasn't covered in the training. So
they're like, whatever you do, don't draw.
No,
a dick.
I mean, they told me how to
Chapter
press the
19,
buttons.
Don't
you know,
draw
they told
dick.
Me how to change the color of the ink, but they didn't tell me how to not draw a penis.
So you and Hallie Jackson kind of seemed like you were laughing a little bit.
I feel bad for her. She's the victim in all this. That she had to stand up there with me and endure that.
At what point did you realize that your drawing maybe kind of looked like genitalia?
when the segment ended, and I said, "How was that?" And they said, "You just." Yeah.
So you guys went to commercial and a producer came
up and said, see, here's the thing. Like, I'm doing it, and I am like a fairly self-conscious person. Uh-huh. So I'm. What happened was this board malfunctioned. It was supposed to show a map of the country.
You were improvising already because there was no map.
It was, hey, Hallie, here's the four key states the rest of the way. And then it goes blank. And so I said, you know what? This is going to be a funny TV moment. I'm going to draw the map. And I tell everybody, it's a rough map. This is just, you know. And I'm doing it, and I'm thinking, when I skipped Texas, I'm thinking to myself, they might make fun of me for drawing a bad map of the United States. What I realized was by skipping Texas, I gave them an opening to claim that I was drawing.
Really? Wait, Florida was the dong?
Florida and Maine were balls.
You tell me. I still saw a whale. But everybody else,
I will tell you.
Everybody else.
Florida and Maine were balls, and then California
the rest of us was shafts.
I said, if you're seeing that.
What really clinched it is when you put an X in California, and it looked like a tip. And Steve, I have to say,
did you draw Hawaii? Please tell me you didn't draw Hawaii.
Oh, dear.
It's a good thing that both Hawaii and the Alaskan islands weren't present. Okay,
my mom
good
point. Is a huge fan, and she called me, and she was like, you're having Steve on your show. Do you know that he drew a dick the other day? So anyway, that's a shout-out to my mom for that hot tip.
All right.
But you were discussing Dennis Hastert, so it was...
Oh, dear. Oh, no.
Too soon.
What?
We should get to a
not
question.
Too soon. It was a long time ago.
In fact, the statute of limitations of that joke is over. All right, so... But the actual question that I meant to ask is, how do you feel? Let's just talk about New York.
We're moving on from genitals.
We're going to move past the dog incident.
We'll bring it back to genitals.
What do you think Bernie Sanders' dick looks like?
Is it going to be Hillary and Trump?
Yeah. I mean, the Trump one's easy. He's going to... Excuse me. The question...
This is typically the burping part of the show.
Yeah,
so,
well,
yeah.
I already...
Well,
I
you
have
talk about Trump and you vomit.
With, so it doesn't help. No, look, the question with Trump is 95 delegates at stake on the Republican side. The question is, if you take all 95, if they hold him to 80, that's a win for the Stop Trump people. That's the only suspense. And there's a couple districts. It's like the Upper East Side, the Upper West Side. Will he win, 50% there or not? That's
who
the
are these Democrats on the Upper West Side? It's like seven people they need
the
to
Republicans.
Reach, right? Yeah, that's what the Republicans.
No, the Republican rules, too. This is the thing. It's like Trump's out there screaming about how unfair everything is. And I get it. It appeals to his base or whatever. But it's like the Republican rules are like you got a couple districts in New York State, 27 congressional districts total. You got a couple that are actually Republican districts. And they got like hundreds of thousands of Republican voters in them. Each one of those districts gets three delegates to the Republican National Convention. Then Charlie Rangel's district, where there's like half a Republican, gets three delegates to the Republican National Convention.
I think she's here tonight. She raised her hand earlier.
Ask her. You want to know who's winning it? So that's the wild card in all this. But yeah, I mean, look, on that, I think Trump's got it. Obviously, it's a question how many delegates for... I think Hillary's... I think what happened was the polls a month ago showed a 20-25 point race here for Hillary. It tightened when everybody started thinking about it, but I think it's reached... we've now seen it stabilize at like 10-12 points.
Right.
That sounds about right to me. I think she'll win by 10-12
points. So if Hillary wins, does she lock up the nomination?
Yeah, it's one of those like, look... The Sanders people go crazy because it's like, you're dismissing it. It's like, he's won 14 states so far. Right. He will probably win 20 when this thing's over. He will probably win 1,800 delegates. He's going to win over 10, you know, probably 10 million votes or something. And you look at that and you're like, when this campaign began, if you said that the 74-year-old socialist from Vermont running against the former Secretary of State was going to win 20 states.
Who's also an atheist Jew, don't forget that.
I mean, right, just, it's like, you. It, so I'm, it's crazy. Hand. But on the other hand, yeah, I don't, there's no math, especially if he loses New York, there's no math that gets him over her in the delegate
Well,
count,
we just biked by the Bernie rally right now, and there were like a billion people there, probably. A lot. I'm
so
a little
you think he's
going
to get a billion votes?
I think he's
going to
get a billion votes. But I'm a little tipsy, but it was around a billion, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so Jess, this next question's for you. So if Hillary doesn't win...
whole thing or New York?
All of it.
If she doesn't,
general, okay. If she doesn't win, who is the next best shot at being the first female president? And... the second question, well, let's start with that.
Okay, I
because,
love
it. Because part, I feel like part of the reason I'm coming out tonight, I'm with her. I'm voting for Hillary. I'm coming out
I'm
tonight.
I'm with her, too.
You're, oh, wow. All right.
I am. I'm
the
officially...
The tepid applause says everything.
You don't have to be afraid. It's okay. You can love.
No,
also, the way
weird,
she came
I
out was
feel...
just like, I'm with her.
Yeah.
No,
that's
I
how
am,
Hillary's
I
rallies are.
No,
it's
I
her
like
going
Hillary.
Like,
but listen, I'll vote for Bernie if he gets the nomination.
We're going to
obviously.
Poverty.
Yeah. Obviously.
But I do feel like a little like I'm like showing the fact that I'm like a mom now because I'm like, I'm voting because I want my son to know that women can be in charge.
Yeah, well, that's the question. So if not her, then who? Right. And I think that there are a lot of people out there that are like, well, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. It's going to happen in our lifetime. We don't need to be too concerned about this particular one. It's not inevitable. It's never happened before. Like, if right. not her, then who? I don't know the line of women that were previous possible nominees to be president, because there aren't any. Well, we get a lot of questions. It's like, how do women running for president deal with X? Or how would you counsel a woman running for president to do this? It's like, well, we have this sample size of one, and it works out this way. So clearly, that's the best path. We don't know.
Well, and then this is the my second part of the question, which I think is more important and leads to that. What are the important down ballot races? So the reason we don't have a lot of women that right. are qualified to right. run for president is because we don't have enough representation in Congress right. and local races and just in general in any elected office. So
and
what are
women
the,
are so emotional.
We
it's
and
true.
I have my period and it's like then I'm like out for a whole week. So oh gosh, and I'm like oh, nuke 'em. I'm so emotional right now. So what are the important thing? Like you know, basically we don't have like a JV. Team
yeah.
to bring up to the A.
No, this
There's
is
no
the,
minor
that's
league.
Exactly
There's no minor
it.
League. Yeah.
Like I think a lot of people don't know that we're sitting at like 20% in Congress, which means that we're being beaten by Afghanistan and Nigeria.
And yeah.
Like this is true. Man, we're number one.
USA.
I
USA.
Think,
no,
I think,
nobody is as outraged as we are about
Governor
this.
Governor of South Carolina is going to be the first female president if Hillary doesn't get it.
I think she's got. I mean, yeah, sure, we can elect a South Asian Republican woman to be president. Like
I'd
it's entirely
vote.
I think
possible.
She might have had
we
an affair with a guy I went to high school with, though. So. So that could come back.
You were outing that in this thing. You were totally outing
it.
No, it's
no,
been
well,
outed.
I found out about it in the papers. I don't. It's not. Not. I don't have personal info. We have additional beers.
Additional
by the
beers.
Way,
everyone,
if you guys have
grab
a, third
a beer.
Beer. No, you're right, Nikki Haley. I mean, it's amazing that South Carolina has a female governor, being a
yeah.
South Carolinian,
yeah.
and it's amazing that she is also Indian American. She's not Caucasian.
And
you
she's
know.
Socially moderate.
That's yeah, not true.
Or a Republican.
So, well, actually, this dovetails nicely into our next question, which is for you, Anthony. So you grew up in North Carolina.
I did.
I grew up in South Carolina. North Carolina was always sort of the slightly...
People in North Carolina are like, no.
North Carolina was always seemed like slightly more liberal and better and then went blue in 2008 for Obama. And then what the fuck happened since then?
Well, North
what
Carolina,
North
there's
Carolina?
Like a couple cities and college campuses that are blue, and then the rest are pig farmers. And
is
so,
that literally pig?
Well, the East, they're pig farmers.
And then tobacco,
and in
right.
the West, they're like mountain people who hide abortion bombers in the woods, you know? and so it's a bizarre state.
High praise.
And like so and I think when Obama first ran, the blue cities won out. And then after that, they were the pig farmers rebelled. And
or the people in the blue cities didn't show up.
Well, they also
gave up on Obama.
They also gerrymandered the districts.
Oh, right.
Because again, the census happened in 2010, and that changed things for the next 10 years. Like so.
So, right. do you long to move back to North
Hell
Carolina?
Hell no. No, hell no.
You don't want to raise your children?
It's really sad because the Republicans who've taken over North Carolina have just destroyed the state. It's like really
It's like Kansas
really
level
sad.
Of tragedy.
Yeah, it's like really sad. Yeah. It's really sad.
This is like a sad moment for both of your states. Well, actually, you always knew South Carolina was crazy. So
South Carolina always
sucked.
South Carolina
sucked since they were the first state to secede.
Like, I remember the first time like going to Charlie's parents' house and being like, all right, we're going to go downtown. There's the Confederate flag. It was like, okay.
But Nikki Haley helped take that down, so she is
right.
She's being
did
smart.
After
North Carolina's flag is like a deconstruction of the Confederate flag. So it kind of is like, you can go like, that makes me think of the Confederate flag, but it's not actually the Confederate
it's
flag.
It's like a Rorschach test yeah. for the Confederate flag. Yeah. Like if you're a racist, uh-huh. you see the Confederate yeah. flag.
A magic
eye. They can
kind of
wink and nudge
flag.
At each other like, we know what it is. Like, it works out.
All right, so for the first time in a long time, New York is actually important. And the candidates are actually campaigning
New York's
here.
New York's never important.
It's never
no
important. It's so sad. I'm from Ohio originally. And we always had campaign ads. And when I was a New Yorker, I'm like, oh, we're actually getting campaign ads.
And you're excited about this.
I am. I'm like, yeah, spend that money on me.
Well, it's exciting Woo-hoo! To matter. I mean, we said in the show a couple of months ago how bullshit it was that Ted Cruz dismissed the entire state.
Yeah.
And it's so delicious that it's come back to haunt him.
That's
that
kind of made me
here.
Want to vote for Donald Trump, honestly. Like, Ted Cruz went so hard negative on New York that I was like, if I was here and I really didn't give a shit, I might register as a Republican to vote against that guy. Like, that guy sucked.
Yeah. So, well, first of all, so
Ted Cruz
was
is like
ran
a
out.
True monster,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Like, has there ever been a more monstrous human being?
No, and there was a neurologist that, like, talked about why we all react to his face that way.
What?
Like, his yes, face yeah. is actually arranged in a certain way
it's to not symmetrical.
Provoke revulsion in human beings. This is science.
And the Republicans have kind of trapped themselves into
and
he's
like,
the
well,
hero. He's the white knight. All right, so Steve, we didn't ask this. Who's is Trump going to win, or are they going to be stuck with Ted Cruz?
The whole nomination.
The whole nomination.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think Trump wins the whole thing. I think he wins it during the primary. There's a lot of talk
right.
that oh he
gets
lost.
To 12:37.
Yeah. No, I actually think everybody overreacted to Wisconsin last week. I think he's going to win. Let's say he wins 90 of the 95 delegates here. A week later, you got Pennsylvania, Maryland, Delaware, Connecticut, Rhode Island. He's going to get 90% of the delegates from there. The other thing nobody talks about is Pennsylvania sending a bunch of these, I don't want to get too technical here, but they send these unbound delegates to the convention. So everybody who's like talking about the open convention right now is saying, oh, they're unbound. Those are the types of delegates Cruz wins by out-organizing Trump. What they're not saying or seeing is most of the people who are running to be unbound delegates in Pennsylvania are saying they will honor the will of the voters in the state. Trump's winning the state by 26 points right now. Wow. He's not going to get 17 delegates out of Pennsylvania. He's going to get like 70. And I think he's going to hit the number.
Do you think that one thing that bothers me about Bernie supporters, and again, I like Bernie, I'll vote for him, but I'm with her. I guess? No, but thanks, Anthony, for supporting me in that.
You're over 25, of course.
Yeah,
you're for
of
her.
Course I am. Of course, I'm a woman. I'm over 25. But I really get frustrated that they keep bringing up the fact that the Democrats have these superdelegates. They're
stealing
gonna vote.
The
they're gonna vote for Bernie, right? If Bernie wins,
yeah.
outright.
Yeah,
that's not even a question. Of course they're gonna vote.
And
for
she's
him, right?
won millions more popular votes. Like right. she's winning in superdelegates. She's winning in pledge delegates. She's winning in the popular
but
vote. She's winning in the states.
That's the question, though. So the Sanders campaign has been saying if they catch her in the pledged delegates, the ones that you right. win in the primaries and caucuses, that's the key to flipping the superdelegates. But I think that's the catch. That's the thing that will happen. If Sanders were to catch her, I don't think he won't.
Right.
But if
yeah.
he does,
there's no way.
What you just said is what the Clinton people and the superdelegates will come back with. Still doesn't matter. We got more popular votes.
Well, imagine for a right. second if Bernie, if more people yeah. were voting for Bernie and we get to the convention and Clinton figures out a way to flip his superdelegates and take it even though more people wanted him.
But what they would counter like, with is in the caucuses, they don't keep a popular vote. So she's getting credit for all the primaries where they keep a popular vote and he gets credited with zero votes. So the official count in
well, like in Alaska, five people.
The official
voted.
Count in Wyoming last weekend was 156 to right. 124 because they don't count votes; they count state.
There
delegate
might only be 300 people in Wyoming,
well,
though.
Yeah,
right?
yeah, yeah.
Maybe
300.
They filled up a historic arena auditorium in Laramie for
a
that.
A cowboy
but they,
and Indian and a horse.
Every.
Voted.
But so, that, I mean, that would be the counter. I'm sure if you, even if you could keep a popular vote of the caucuses, just because the participation rate is so much lower, she would still win the popular vote.
But isn't it over for Bernie if he doesn't win New York? Like, this is his Alamo,
delegate-wise,
right?
Like, yeah. There's I don't see the path now, but he basically has to win everything between now and California to catch her in that pledge.
Right, you to know, even have California matter.
Right, right.
Yeah, I just think it's like they're picking a battle that there's no, like, I understand the Trump part, like the Trump people picking that battle, because I do think that the Republicans might try to steal from him. I don't think they will, but it's a possibility. But I do think that if Bernie wins fair and square, I think the superdelegates will go with...
But what's fair and square? That's the question.
Sure. Well, I don't think it's...
More delegates. Yeah.
But it just...
I said, like, to me, one of the biggest knocks against Bernie... as his judgment to be president is that he started to think he could be president right when he mathematically would never be president.
Yeah. That's your least favorite thing about him?
I think it's a bad knock of judgment.
Yeah. Like, because he didn't think he could be president.
I think he was running as a protest candidate, and then I think it went to his head of, like, people really like me. Birds land on the podium. Like, I'm great. And then it was too late.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when elections are this long. You're just like in your bubble for so long. You're running, and then you just start to be like, all right, now we're going to attack each other. Now we're going to.
Also,
you know.
Hillary is so terrible at running for president.
Yes.
She's truly terrible at it.
Because she wants
like
it
Jeb
so
Bush
bad.
Level terrible at
it's
it.
It's the ambition.
She's not
honestly.
Jeb Bush level.
No, she's not Jeb Bush level. That's true.
By winning all this stuff.
So, one
terrible.
Question that we want to ask you guys if Hillary wins the election, we would have a first gentleman, which we've never had.
We heard
guys
a yes
think,
from the audience.
Bill has already said that he would not do some of the normal things a first lady does, which is like some you have to like pick the flowers
pick,
for the White
yeah,
House.
Yeah, the China pattern.
Like,
yeah,
encourage healthy eating amongst children.
Hey, that's important. That's important. That was actually important.
I'd rather go to Subway. How do you guys... I mean, it is... I mean, that's like almost...
It's archaic.
I think it's a top 10 reason to vote for Hillary. not because Bill specifically, but just to have a first gentleman.
And also...
About time. Like,
is that the
amazing.
Official term?
I think
first
so.
First gentleman?
Yeah, they've decided. I mean, Palin tried to go with first dude, but it didn't take.
If it was a dude on with a goatee on like a jet ski, it would be first dude. But it's Bill Clinton, so it's first gentleman. So I don't know. How do you guys think having a first gentleman might change the role of... spouse of president.
When Hillary came in as first lady, she was literally the first lady to have had a job before being first lady.
Oh my
outside
God, is that
of the
true?
Home.
Like, no
she
was one had had one a job have, other than homemaker?
She was the first one to have a career.
I mean, Nancy Reagan had been an actress for 20 years.
Sure.
But actress is
Nancy Reagan.
Actress is a
Ronald.
Bullshit job, yeah. Trust me. It's like really, it's a worthless piece of shit career.
And people
so,
went nuts.
Like, I'm ready to give it up at any point.
How are you gonna like do the teas and bake the cookies and pick out the flowers and the china if you're also, you know, having a law degree? And it upended a lot of stuff, and I think having a guy come in and have to arrange the flowers might upend a few things itself.
So you wish that Bill would...
I wanted to pick out the china.
You wanted to pick out the china. Yeah.
I want to see a china pattern that Bill Clinton picked
totally.
Out. What the fuck does that look like?
It looks a lot like Steve's drawings, I think.
It's those bowls that when you finish your soup, there's a naked lady at the bottom of the bowl.
Or a cigar. Oh, bad joke from 1990-something.
All right, so you talked about how bad Hillary is at running for president, Anthony, and I think she's had a lot of unforced errors, and a major one this week, and a major one from de Blasio. So I want to talk about...
Now, she's a cautious politician.
I want to talk about CP time. Did you guys know what CP time meant before this week? Because
yes.
I didn't know it. Maybe I'm not up on...
I say it. I use
North
it all
Carolina.
The time. If I'm late for something, I say that. No,
I'm not up on racist
slang. You might
want
to explain what happened, because I'm not sure if everyone knows.
For anybody
knows.
That doesn't know, de Blasio and Hillary Clinton were on stage with an African-American actor from Hamilton. I don't know his name.
Odom Jr.,
Leslie Odom Jr., thank you.
Anthony's like Mr.
I haven't
Broadway.
Been able to get a ticket, so I don't know the names of the actors.
He plays Aaron Burr.
Oh, okay.
Sir.
So anyway, it was the worst, the most awkward footage, I think, maybe of the entire campaign, maybe, of de Blasio saying, Hillary saying, you were late to support me, and he said he was on CP time, which means colored person time.
Yes, it does.
Which is not...
We have like, an oh shit from the audience.
The audience
everyone.
Literally just said oh shit, and but now
and then Leslie Odom Jr. goes, I'm not comfortable with jokes like that.
But he was saying his memorized
He's lying.
Lines.
Yeah,
he was in on the joke, and he was supposed to say that. But I will say he delivered it in a very realistic way. I guess he's a good actor.
He's a very good actor.
Yeah, I guess he's a good actor. So the joke was Hillary saying, you took a while to endorse me. Well, I was on CP time. And then it comes out that it actually means cautious politician time. Ha, 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 ha. Why can't it just be de Blasio time? Like, the only like rap that he has other than being a progressive mayor is that he's late for everything. Like, he could have just said, I'm sorry, I was on de Blasio time. So why did they make this unforced error?
That's not a good joke.
No, well, it's better. It's better.
Well, he also could have said Clinton time. I mean, it's the same knock on, you know.
Is Clinton, Hillary late?
Well, Bill was. He could say I'm on Bill Clinton time.
Yeah.
So,
not quite as funny. I don't know.
Blowjobs take a long time.
It was a perfect bit, and we just hate because it was such a great comedic bit.
So here's the question, is that Obama, I think, is an amazing comedian. He's like every White House Correspondents Dinner. He's hit
the
it out of
the park. The comedian that follows him usually bombs because he's so good.
He's so good.
His now, timing is amazing.
I know that he has writers and people that write it for him.
Yeah.
So props to those people. But he also, his delivery is amazing. And I don't think any president in our lifetime will be as funny as him in that role.
Even the way he orders Subway is
even
funny.
The way, yeah.
You know
do you guys
I mean?
Remember when George W. Bush did the Correspondents' Dinner and he pretended to be looking for weapons of mass destruction? And it was like, looked under a table and went, not under there. That's worse than the CP time bit.
That's pretty
That's
bad.
Far worse. People died.
That's
like, no
bad.
One died from CP time.
Well.
So, of the current candidates for president in both parties, who do you think would be the best, like, roaster at the Correspondents' Dinner? Who do you think would have the best cadence and delivery?
Ted Cruz thinks he's hilarious.
Yeah, but he mostly
Which
quotes
makes
The
him
Simpsons.
Hilarious. Because he looks like the neighbor, Ned Flanders.
Have you guys seen the BuzzFeed video where he does impressions
yes.
of the Simpsons?
Yes.
Characters?
Wonderful.
It is tragic.
He
it's
could be your next
watch.
President, Republicans. Go out and vote in the primary.
And I don't think
Trump... Donald Trump is real good.
I don't think Trump can make fun of himself. That, I mean,
oh, of himself,
cause,
though.
Cause
He's good at insulting other people, though.
He is, but yeah, but in a funny way or in just a mean way? Yeah?
Did you see his bit he did with Rubio in the water bottle? That was truly funny.
Was that at a debate? What did he do?
No, he came on... When he was in his middle of attacking Rubio phase, he came on stage with his water bottle, and he was just, like, moving it around, and he went... Rubio, and he just threw water around, and he went, well, and he like tossed it off.
But that's not actually
It was
funny.
Like so funny. No, because of the response to the State of the Union where Rubio had to like...
Wait,
like, I know about
water.
We all know
Rubio's
such a like
water.
Great bit.
Yeah.
Trump is so good at keying in on the key weakness of his opponent.
Little Marco, lying Ted,
and then
well,
make,
low,
and
energy
then low
Jeb.
Energy Jeb. This is what's so amazing about Trump is that low energy Jeb, that seems like a weird, you're like... that actually feels true. And then he can't get out of it. He's stuck.
Because you have to scream. And
he either has to go, I'm not low energy. And you're like, whoa, boy. Or he just is low energy. Where then Marco's like, he has a small dick. You're like, what? Don't say that. That's not cool. It doesn't make you not like Trump. It makes you go, Marco Rubio's an asshole.
So wait.
And Trump never, his insults, like you go like, that's kind of true.
Lion Ted is probably the weakest.
It's terrible.
Jess, Steve, you've both met more candidates than we have, I assume, because I've not met any of them. They're not coming to my house. Who do you think is the funniest? Who do you think has it?
I mean, this is not a funny crop of presidential candidates, if I'm being completely honest about it. I think we're all going to be mourning Obama's for a while. And, like, not just him. Like, I'm going to be mourning the loss of Michelle for the rest of my life.
She's
like, I think that, frankly, instead of having the first
woman.
Gentleman, Hillary should keep Michelle.
Three terms. Third term. Four
except
more
she
years.
She hates the White House so much.
I know,
God, I love that woman. I've said that a lot on this podcast. I realize how drunk I get, and I'm like, Michelle Obama, love you. You're my queen.
I don't think Hillary is terrible in terms of comedy.
She was great on Broad City.
I mean,
she was
fine.
She has good moments.
I thought she was great.
No.
She was really
weird.
The
audience is saying no.
Oh, I thought she was good. I liked that.
Her eyes weren't focused on anything.
You know
what? It was like a weird, like, what
Michelle
are you
Bachman.
Looking at? It was really strange.
Are you
My
a writer
opinion
for that
is
show?
Not valid,
yeah,
then, Anthony.
It was weird.
But I think with good writers, I think any Democrat is going to get better comedy writers than any Republican, because there are very few Republicans.
Because Dennis Miller
writers.
Can't be everywhere.
Yeah. That's right. I think Hillary would be okay. And Bernie was good in Saturday Night Live, so I think with the right writers, he might be okay.
Our next question. Ivanka and Eric Trump both can't vote for their father in the New York primary because they didn't register as Republicans in time, which is just so problematic in many ways. But what does this say about his political team? Are they underprepared? Did they really actually think their father was ever going to be running? Has he ever been running for president? Who knows? And also, are open primaries a good idea if it's this hard? There's like so many questions in that. What do you think of open primaries?
It's easy. That's one where I feel like I want to defend the Trumps a little, because it's easy to make, they didn't know what the rules were. Look, the real story there and the real scandal there are the voting laws in New York State. It's terrible. This is a state, if you want to vote in a primary, okay, that's happening now, you have to register a year early.
October, right?
Yeah, you got...
Not quite a year.
Well, I mean, if you wanted to vote in the 20... So in New York City...
A year before the general.
Generally, the mayoral elections are determined in primaries. And if you want to participate in that, if you are an average voter in this city who sometime around, I don't know, August, September of 2013, when the primary for mayor is in September 2013, said, hey, there's a race for mayor. Let me find out who these candidates are, what they're all about. Oh, I think I found the one I want to be mayor. And then you find out, you had to register 10 months ago. That's New York does that, and no other state does that.
But don't you also think if you're 18 years old, you should register to fucking vote and cry me a river if you're not registered?
What if you register as an independent because you think, hey, I'm not really on board with the Democrats, I'm not really on board with the Republicans.
Who is that person, though? That person?
That's a lot of people.
Yeah. I've been an
independent for a long time. Yeah. Charlie.
Journalists?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I think the unspoken story of the Trumps is that they were clearly registered as Democrats.
Oh yeah.
Well,
no,
Ivanka says she was an independent.
No, look, if I
mean, they weren't Republicans because their dad wasn't a Republican.
In New York City, like, look, Robert Novak, who is like this very conservative columnist down in Washington D.C., he registered as a Democrat. He wrote about it all the time. He said, "I'm a Democrat because to be anything else in Washington D.C. is to disenfranchise yourself."
Right. That's right.
And I agree. I always get really angry when we have friends like in the primaries that don't vote for local elections. They're like, "I forgot to vote." I'm like, "Well, you gave up your vote.
That's all that matters."
Because all that matters is which Democrat you vote for, because that's the person that's going to win.
Even if you're a Republican, you should be a registered Democrat in New York City if you want to vote.
Just like Michael Bloomberg.
Right.
Just like what?
Just like Michael Bloomberg.
Yeah.
I also think it's like a great way for his kids to be like, they don't really want their dad to be president.
No, if I were Trump's kids,
I
would forget
to
vote too. Absolutely.
I would have voted
for you. If your racist grandpa were running and you'd have to be like, yeah, grandpa, I support you. And you're like, I don't really want grandpa to be president.
The law won't let me.
Oops. I'm voting for someone else, Hillary, I guess. Oops.
I think they're not all Republican. Ivanka's definitely not. And I also think that when that deadline happened in October, they didn't think their dad was actually running for president, even though he had been, quote, running for president for 4 months. I think they're all shocked.
Where do you think it switched? Where do you think Trump went from, this is fun, to, I actually think I want to be president?
Maybe with the ratings in some of those early debates, maybe?
I believe someone posited this theory that he just wants to be elected president and then doesn't want to be president.
Yeah, I still don't think he wants to be president.
Right. Yeah. But being president, he would hate it.
Oh.
But he's stuck, too, because anybody who cares about their, you know, you can't, that's one you can't just quit.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you're
yeah.
Nixon. There's only two of you in history, you know?
And he can't go back to being Donald Trump. Like, there's no way he goes back to, like,
being
a hotel magnate and, like,
I got a golf course to run, folks. I got to quit this president.
Now he's done this whole fascist thing, and he sort of has to, like, stick with it.
Oh, no, he's in perfect situation now. He gets to lose, complain that he was cheated out of it, and complain the rest of his life that he would have been an amazing president, and they didn't let him have it.
But isn't he, like, complaining to, like, his pets and his, like, children?
Yeah, but that's all that matters for the rest of the time. And the Republicans are going to have to deal with him as a thorn in their side forever.
Like Sarah Palin.
But what if Steve is right and he gets 1237 and he wins the nomination and loses to Hillary?
Oh, he's gonna do. No, that's but then 100% he says that.
But what will happen is the part. How many Republicans will not endorse him? How many will throw him under the bus in the fall? And he'll have the excuse.
So
if the party had united around me instead of being, you know, chicken shit, I'd be president of the United States.
Exactly.
He'll find. Every time he loses anything, he finds a way to blame someone else.
One thing I think that we haven't had, at least in my lifetime, I think, is a general election where, in say, like September, October, it's clear who's going to win, and the polls are like massively in one direction, which we could have this year. And what crazy shit goes down in those last months when desperation weighs in?
Can I say though, I get it. Look, Donald Trump is an underdog in the general election against
That's
Hillary
a nice
Clinton.
Way.
But Donald Trump, when he got in this race, nobody would have ever guessed he'd be in the situation he's in right now. He'd be in the position he's in right now. Guy is sitting on a 200 delegate lead that probably in the next 2 weeks will explode to 400 over Ted Cruz. I think he's probably going to be the Republican candidate for president. Donald Trump has more of a capacity for instant self-reinvention than any politician I've seen before. And I know the Donald Trump we're seeing right now would absolutely lose a general election. I'm not 100% convinced that this will be the Donald Trump that the country is judging in the fall. And one thing I've learned from covering politics, I feel at least, is memories, for mass opinion, memories are really, really short.
So he's not going to be talking about putting women who get abortions in jail in October.
No, of course he's not. But like, that's why people run ads. Like,
But they tried running ads from Tim Russert in like the 90s.
But
has Trump ever made
a poll go up?
Sure. I mean,
because everyone was saying he can't win, he was ahead in the polls.
Well, so this is the thing. Like when he started out, and people said, month in, they said, this is Rudy Giuliani again. Remember when Rudy Giuliani ran? Name recognition, led the polls for all of 2007, and then just disappeared. It wasn't. Giuliani got in, and he was at 40%. It was name recognition the whole way. When Trump got in this race last June, he was at 1%. Right. He was at 1% in the first poll. And this is when they came up with the criteria for the first debate, which was the Fox debate that got 25 million viewers. And they said top 10 in the polls. We did a story. I remember when the day he got in, we did a story. We said Donald Trump today would not make the stage for the Republican debate. So that's where he started. So he did. I mean, and then the ceiling. I remember we had all these Republican guests coming on.
Then he called Mexicans rapists, and the rest was history.
We had him on our show in September saying his ceiling's 15, 20% tops. That's all he's ever going to get. Now they're telling me it's 50. So, and there is a ceiling there. I'm not saying
50
you know,
of the Republican Party or the nation.
Well, 50 of the Republican Party, but, you know, let's see.
I agree. We're not in a general yet.
Right.
And Hillary is a very flawed candidate. I'm with her.
Yay.
I guess. No, I am. I am. I like her. But
no,
she
she's
is
on
flawed,
CP time, you know? You gotta.
She's going to be late a lot. And no, there. Anyway, but there are flaws with her. And I do think. She has a history of being in the media forever and ever and ever, and she's a politician. And for some reason, when you put up something that Trump said in 1990, everyone's like, oh, he didn't really mean it. But if you put up something that she said in 1990, oh, she meant it, and she's a monster, you know, whatever. It's a different thing. Things that he says don't stick to him the way that a regular politician, it does.
Which is so weird, because his reputation is he tells it like it is. Right? But
he tells whatever
the fuck he wants to say today.
If you watch focus groups about Donald Trump, like the number one thing that people who support him come out saying is he's just like me.
But I think what they mean by that, is most people don't make any sense. Most people one day are like, yeah, I hate him. And the next day they're like, he's pretty good. I like
that
guy.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Like most people are inconsistent. So they don't care that Trump is inconsistent. They like that he is like forceful.
Mexicans
they feel like
rapists,
he's
going to
sit down across from those guys from China and go, you don't fuck with America anymore. Like, that's what they think he's going to do. They don't understand that China's going to go, who cares?
Since we're talking about Trump, this is a very serious question. There was a Vanity Fair article that I read that was talking about, like, the implications of who's in the White House on the staffers that work there.
Like the chef.
The chef,
the housekeepers.
The housekeepers. Do you guys think if Trump wins the presidency that the White House is safe, like the actual building? Like,
do you think he might raise it and build something else?
I mean, do you think he's going to go and be like, it's too old, it's too blah, 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 and like take all the shit out?
We got to have a bigger building. It's got to be bigger.
Because some of the ex...
We're going to make it bigger.
Some of the ex-housekeepers
were like, this is nerve... I mean, he might come in and be like, I don't know, get rid of it. It's Lincoln.
Someone pointed out on Twitter that if Hillary wins, she'll be moving back into a house that she's already lived in. Which is, who's ever done that? Who's ever moved out of a house and then moved back into the same house? It's like really weird.
Grover Cleveland.
So seriously, do you? I have a serious question about this. Do you guys think that Trump might take some liberties and start putting some gold shit on that White House?
Well, they all put their own touch. I mean, you know, Obama put in a basketball court.
Yeah.
That was the big, you know, Nancy and Reagan overhauled the White House China. You know, that was her contribution. Didn't I think George Bush Sr. put in a tennis court?
Carter put in solar panels.
Yeah, so you know, Reagan tore them out.
Reagan took them out.
It's true.
Why did Reagan tear them out?
Because he's a fucking American.
Because America.
All right, we've been talking a lot about some candidates that we don't like. I want to talk about my favorite senator because, Jess, I know you work for him, and that is Al Franken, who is my favorite senator right now. And I know you
never voted for him.
And you worked. I can't vote for him. I know you
I voted for Stuart Smalley. I wrote him in.
But Jess, I've been so fascinated with how he stayed out of the limelight.
Yeah.
He has not been on television. He's rarely on television. One issue here or there. Is he ever going to, like, bust out and, like... I know, like, strategically, he's really smart. Yeah. Like, he's the Saturday Night Live comedian. And he better, like, you know, do the opposite of what his expectations are. And he's been amazing. He got reelected so easily. But I also just want him to just, like, you know, speak to truth.
You know, he's writing a book.
He is. Yeah. Okay. Is it someone is a big fat idiot? Is it Donald Trump is a big fat idiot?
No, I mean, here's the dirty secret of Al Franken is dude actually wanted to be the senator from Minnesota, like real bad. Like I'm a New Yorker.
Like when he was a kid, you mean?
No, I mean it started when Paul Wellstone died and he got really mad at what Norm Coleman did when he came into that seat. He just hated it. And people started saying, "Why don't you run?" And he started thinking, maybe I should. So when I went into that campaign, I'm from New York City. I got there. I was expecting to meet someone from New York City who was running for a seat in Minnesota. And I was in the car with him. And I made some crack about the food or something. And he just looked at me. Like, it was not appropriate to be making fun of Minnesota like that. And I was like, oh, shit.
He's like, you better love ranch dressing,
he is actually... No, I mean, he wears shoes with Velcro on them. Like, he's really... Like, he's a Minnesotan.
Yeah. I started following him on Twitter after he won the election.
Yeah.
And I had to unfollow him because all of his tweets were about Minnesota.
Yeah, that's
like playing not him. To the people that reelected him. Smart.
If you sign up for his email list, you'll get his jokes. Like, that's real. Like, really funny emails are him.
He's given some funny speeches on the floor.
No, I mean, he's hilarious, and there's nothing you can do about it. Like, we tried really, really hard to, like, make that not happen, but the guy is just hilarious.
Does he have aspirations beyond being a senator?
I don't think he does.
Could we have our first comedian president?
God, I wish. Man, maybe VP?
I've heard people talking about him as a VP candidate, but I don't think
I've read that, and I hope it... I
mean, we had an actor as the fucking president. I mean, Ronald Reagan was, like, a B-movie actor, and we elected him. I don't think we have a Saturday
Night. He was like
Live.
Making movies with monkeys, and Al Franken was doing.
Al Franken is good enough. He's smart enough.
Stewart Saves His Family.
That is an important movie about the family disease of alcoholism, Steve. It's taught in rehabs across Minnesota.
Who do you think? I would love to know who you guys think the VPs are going to be
that's a good
Hillary
question.
Trump is the ultimate.
Fucking Trump.
Who would say yes to Donald Trump?
Yeah. Absolutely. Ivanka. 100%.
I don't know.
I think
Steve,
Anthony Bourdain.
That would hurt me so much.
Trump and Anthony Bourdain in the White House?
Two reality stars.
Come on. Or at least Secretary of State.
I don't know. Who won American Idol this year? I'd probably nominate them. No, do you... I mean, honestly, Steve, seriously, who do you think Trump will nominate as his VP? Because I agree with you. I think Trump's got it. I think he's got the nomination.
I'll give you three names based on three different scenarios. One is he gets to the convention and he is desperately in need of a couple dozen extra votes to get the number. does he make a deal with John Kasich, who's going to come in there with 175
delegates?
Do you
think Kasich would say yes?
Take it? The case for Kasich, and who the hell knows what Kasich's thinking, but the case would be, if you look at the level of vitriol between Trump and the other candidates, it's been the most minimal between Trump and Kasich. And Kasich even has said nice things about him, which that's the standard these days for, like, could this person run with Trump? He hasn't. Yeah. So okay, that's one. That's the sort of pragmatic, you know, he's at the convention, he needs it.
He'll get Ohio.
Here's another one. Who is his most prominent endorsement so far?
Christie. Who's,
oh, actually, I was going to say it's Jeff Sessions, but it won't be Christie.
It won't be Christie.
I'll tell you that, there's a million reasons it won't be Christie. It won't be Christie. Right. Jeff Sessions, taking Christie aside, his big sort of gray beard Washington endorsement, would it be Jeff Sessions? Okay, that's a possibility. And then there's the, okay, he can't get anybody who's sort of, he's getting no from a lot of people, what we'd expect, but he needs somebody who has some legitimacy, who wants the spotlight, who has a title, who's on board with Trump. And who's that? Scott Brown. Scott Brown, the former
Playboy
United States Senator who endorsed Trump. There's three ways of looking at it.
You know who I think it's going to be, and I'm interested to hear what you think since you work at Microsoft NBC, is...
No.
We
severed that relationship.
Is Joe Scarborough. I think Joe Scarborough wants to be Trump's VP.
Do you?
I do.
Wow.
I really do. I would put money on it right now.
Yeah. I think Joe's happy doing the morning show and
but I think he'd be happier being president.
She wouldn't be president.
And he'd be such a good attack dog against Hillary.
He'd be vice president, though.
I know, but then he'd be president after Trump is a success.
But when I say nobody wants it, it's like, look at Christie. The only thing Christie's known for since his campaign is standing in the background and just looking as small as he's ever looked.
And pouring small M&Ms into a bigger M&M at the NCAA tournament. Like,
that is the future. That's the future that awaits you if you say yes to Donald Trump. It's not much of an
Steve,
advertisement.
I have
for
a question for you, being the Christie expert that you are. Why did Christie endorse him?
It had nothing to do with Donald Trump. So the story on that is, it's real simple. Chris Christie believes in. And I mean, he practices, the best way to describe it is payback politics.
Yeah.
He practices it. So who was he paying back? He was paying back Marco Rubio. Why was he paying back Marco Rubio? Because Chris Christie believes he would have won the New Hampshire primary if it wasn't for Marco Rubio. The reason for that is because if you think about it, late last year, and this is actually, there's something to this. Late last year, Christie's doing the town halls in New Hampshire. Christie is great at the town halls. He honestly is. He's getting traction. You can get traction in New Hampshire at town halls. He gets the union leader endorsement, the big paper up there. He hits double digits in the polls in New Hampshire. And you're starting to see it. You're like, you have this theory of like, okay, the Republican Party is resistant to Trump. Can somebody emerge to be the one-on-one challenger with Trump? And you're starting to see it. You're like, boy, if Christie could win New Hampshire, maybe it's Christie versus. So you're starting to see it. January 4th, the super PAC supporting Marco Rubio notices that Chris Christie's hit double digits in New Hampshire, and they launch $2 million in negative ads, just blistering him on the Boston and Manchester, New Hampshire airwaves. Chris Christie believes to this day that those ads stalled his growth. He'd gone from like 4 to 14% in New Hampshire. He ended up at 7. He believes the ads stalled his growth and knocked him out of contention. He believes if he won New Hampshire, he would have rolled it into big wins elsewhere. So that's why that debate moment when he went after Rubio, that's what it was all about. So it was like, I'm not winning, but buddy, you aren't either.
So this guy is he's just scorched earth revenge. Screwed me over, so I'm going to close the bridge down.
It's Jersey. Well, I mean, when you wonder about the bridge.
And, you know, listen, we watched Up. We were like...
We covered it. We covered it once,
I know. We were like, Jesus, Steve's talking about the bridge again. We get it. We know it. We love it. We're with you.
Would you have guessed that 2.5 years later? We still haven't got resolution on that.
Because no one's talking about it. Because where's Up? And why aren't you talking about the damn bridge?
But Steve, so he got back to Marco, but he looked like the biggest fucking idiot in the world standing behind Trump.
But
what can he do now? What is he doing?
Now...
He's over, right?
Why endorse Trump after that?
No, because Rubio was getting traction. There was the moment there. Yes. It's hard to remember now, but it looked like Rubio was sneaking up on Trump.
Rubio had
right, and so he was like, this was it. He was like, I'm going to stall Rubio once and for all. But now it's funny. I mean, you talk to reporters I know in Jersey, like they ask him now, they get these Christie press, he will not talk about Trump now. In Trenton, he says, I'll do one question per press conference on Trump, and then usually they ask the question, he goes, I can't hear you. That's what he does.
I love it. I think it's like he's... like Rubio's like Chris Christie's hand was like out of the grave, like grabbing the hand of Rubio and like slowly pulling him down with him at the
end.
That
was effectively what he was trying to do.
100%. It's like Freddy Krueger at the end.
In my mind, Rubio is the definition of an empty suit, but he but also, have you seen the picture of him in a giant chair?
Yes, I wish.
You have to look it up.
Joel?
Look at Rubio giant chair. There's this picture of him sitting in this big chair. And it's like, if I were running against him in the general, I would just run a silent 30-second picture of that. And then just Hillary Clinton 2016. Like, that's all you have to, like, no way is that guy going to be
Charlie,
president.
Charlie, we're getting low on time, but I really want to bring up Trump jock jams.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about Trump's jock jams. Like, he used to come out, used to do a lot of we're not going to take it, right? Yeah,
he loves Evita.
He comes out to Evita
and
too.
And Phantom of the Opera. He plays Phantom of the Opera and Evita before
what?
He comes out.
So yeah. Is Andrew Lloyd Webber a Republican? Why is he allowing this? Because Republicans have the hardest time, right? Because Neil Young is constantly being like, stop doing Rocking in the Free World to every Republican.
The Republicans have like just like Kid Rock and fucking like
Scott Walker tried Rage Against the Machine for a long time and it went really poorly.
They're like,
if only Chuck Norris would make an
album. Is like, you are the machine. Please stop.
Bruce Springsteen won't even play in North Carolina anymore, so they have limited options. So Trump has just resorted to jock jams. He's coming out.
Is that
to,
true?
His only music now is "Y'all Ready for This" by the band. Actually, the song is called "Get Ready for This," but the only
it's
lyrics,
great music to fight to.
Yeah, but like everything and he used to come out to "Right Now" by Van Hagar, but like every song
Van
he comes
Hagar.
Out to. Yeah, well, the Sammy Hagar era of Van Halen.
Did you coin that phrase?
No, I did not. No,
I was like, good for you, honey. But I love it. My but man's so funny.
The jock jams has just been really funny to me. I think it's been the last couple of weeks that it's y'all ready for this. And it's like a high school basketball team from 1994. And that's all he has. He can't use anything else.
Do they seriously, do they show up with a list? They're like, well, these are the five songs we've got. This is all you got to pick.
But the story there was he picks them all. They're personally selected by Trump. The
but
songs
then,
that play before his rally. Yeah. He scores the rally.
But how? He must have a small catalog of people to support him.
Rolling Stones, they play the Rolling Stones a lot. I know that's a big one with him. But yeah, I don't know if they've... when Dole ran in 96, they thought they were very clever at his rallies. Remember the song Soul Man, Sam and Dave?
Mm-hmm.
And they changed it to Dole Man.
I'm a Dole Man.
And they got Dole to sing it once. And it was very cute. And then Sam and Dave wrote to him and they said, please never use this again.
Trump used to be a massive Neil Young fan. And I went to a Neil Young concert at Carnegie Hall a couple years ago and Trump was on the second row with Melania. You could see,
man.
I was in the balcony. I could see his
picture.
Hair. I was taking pictures of it.
And you're like, guess who that is?
But I feel so bad for him because Neil Young basically was just like, fuck you, I don't want you as a fan. Like, you can't use my music anymore. That's got it. It's like Christie and Springsteen.
And then Christie said there was that interview in New Hampshire. I forgot who did the interview. They asked him Springsteen or Bon Jovi. I mean, this is a guy who has given interviews about like the deep emotional meaning of Bruce Springsteen to his life.
Yep.
And he's asked, this is after Springsteen comes out against him, and he says, yeah, Bon Jovi. Changed his mind.
Wow. So I want to talk about the Republican convention a little bit. Jeb has said that he is not coming to the Republican convention. I don't think anybody really cares. I think he's going to hang out with his mommy that weekend.
If she wants to hang out with him.
Why was she on the trail? Why did they bring her out?
I was saying to people before the last Jeb stand in South Carolina, Trump was announcing, he teased the day before the vote. He said, I have a surprise guest at my final rally. I say, it's going to be Barbara Bush, isn't it? She's gonna be, you know what? You were right.
But why? Like, who's the voter that was like, I don't know about Jeb. Oh, his mom is there?
She wasn't. Early on, she was like, no, he shouldn't run.
Well, that's true.
Too many
We've
bushes.
Had enough bushes.
Right. She was a persuadable. She wasn't.
Like, any candidate's mom. Like, you don't need to, like, trot out your mom to, like...
It's so weird. It's like, he's been accused of being low energy, and he's like, well, have you met my mom?
He carried turtles in his pocket. He carried toy turtles in his pocket.
When my son
called himself
for president, I will be there for you, Charles. I am there, and I'm so cool. And but please
did
let
you
me
hear
do
too,
a speech
his,
for you.
His dad, he talked about his dad, George Bush Sr. watched Trump give speeches and threw his shoe at the television. That's the detail he said. George Bush Sr. sits there throwing his shoe at the TV when Trump speaks.
Jeb Bush was my favorite character this whole year. I really miss him.
You have to think, for someone like the senior Bush, to watch Trump take over the party must just be like, what was my life about?
Yeah.
It's all can be so undone so quickly.
How many politicians look at Trump? And I will say, I mean, say this about Trump, whatever you think of Trump, and I can guess what most of them probably think of him, but
we love
all
Trump.
Of the rules we thought existed about the conduct of a candidate.
Don't insult a war hero.
So here it is. It's like John McCain's name comes up, and every politician in America, Democrat and Republican, is trained, I honor his service. He is a deep American patriot hero.
Yeah.
I don't like guys that get captured. And it worked. I mean, you know.
How the fuck did he get captured?
That will be interesting in the general if it is Hillary and Trump, in that Trump is so good, I think, at running for president.
Yeah.
And Hillary
is so bad
at it that who knows? What are those debates?
Yeah, but Hillary wants it so bad that I feel like she will gut and murder anyone that gets
also,
in her way.
Also, Trump is bad at insulting women. That's Achilles heel. It's he goes after Cruz's wife. He goes after Megyn Kelly, and he just does it in this crass. Because he hates women deeply personally. You can tell.
Well, he likes beautiful women.
He likes women with big old titties.
The stuff he says about women, you can't actually repeat. It's we have to figure out how to say that on TV when we're talking about what he's just said.
You know, they met today, Trump and Megyn Kelly.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
They met today.
I saw that. Yeah.
What do you mean they met? They met each other before.
I don't know if it was Trump Tower or we had a reporter send this thing in to us about 10:30 this morning. He happened to be there for whatever reason. He said Megyn Kelly showed up. A bunch of Trump's people met her at the door, brought her in for what was a meeting. And then Fox News put a statement out in the afternoon and said that Megyn Kelly requested a meeting with Mr. Trump and that they would report the details tonight on the Kelly file.
Wow, we got to rush home and turn on the Kelly file.
I just unwittingly contributed to my competitor's ratings. Good job,
Steve. I hope she's not bleeding from somewhere tonight.
That is when Trump goes in a debate, I don't want to call her a bitch, but you see how she's acting. When he does that, I do think that's the end. And it's going to happen.
Oh, he'll say that to Hillary.
It is going to happen.
Agreed. Yeah.
I didn't say it.
Yeah, but who are these women that are on the fence about whether or not they're going to vote for Hillary, our first female president, or Trump, who only likes women in ball gowns having a talent portion of the...
But I think that about, who are the voters that are if it's Sanders, I'll vote for Sanders, but if it's Hillary, I'm voting for Trump or Cruz.
Those people don't really exist.
But they do.
They
you look
don't.
At the polls and they,
Susan
like...
Susan Sarandon exists.
They're saying
exist.
That now. It's I
She's
can't.
A person. I thought she
has ruined
Boulder.
I really don't believe in anything. So,
or no, I have so much privilege that I can wait and let Trump ruin the country for 8 years. Maybe a nuclear bomb will go off, and
I think that the threat is if you feel the system is so broken, the system, both parties, you just want to blow it up, you want to say F you to the system, those are your vehicles. Bernie Sanders calls for a revolution. Donald Trump insults every single person you think is ignoring you.
But Donald
I think
Trump
that's
also wants to cut capital gains taxes.
But they know they're not looking. They're not.
But that's the system, right? I mean, he's not actually going to blow up the system, Trump, right?
I mean, if that's true, then why is the system fighting him so hard? I think that's what they see.
Because I think they're so scared he's accidentally going to say something that literally starts World
Donald
War III.
Trump is Loki. He is chaos. It would be electing chaos.
Yeah.
Which would be really interesting to watch. If it wasn't our
From
country,
Canada.
It'd be fascinating.
If it was a movie, it would be fascinating.
I would watch that movie.
So what's going to happen at the Republican convention? I mean, does it matter that Jeb's not coming? Does it matter,
Audience, what do you think? Does it matter that Jeb's not coming?
But
audience doesn't give a fuck about Jeb.
He comes out for Jock Jams. Are you ready for this?
Steve, let's say you're right and he gets 1237 and Trump's a nominee. Is it going to be a celebratory convention? Is it going to be a funeral? Is it going to be amazing television? What's going to happen?
Yeah, I think it'll be somewhere in between. Here's the thing. It's first of all, the streets, the protests taking place outside, and then the reaction that those protests cause. That's going to be something we haven't seen in a long time. I mean, we saw a protest in 2004 Republican convention. Yeah. In New York. Nothing. I mean, the scale is going to be so much greater. So that event is going to be a huge thing for the media.
Cleveland's fucked.
And poor Cleveland.
They're already fucked. And this was their time to like have a comeback.
I mean, LeBron just rebuilt.
I was going to say, well, and they just got rid of Johnny Manziel, and now they got this. But, I mean, the other, look, even if he finishes the primaries with 1237, I don't think we're going to hear, that won't quite be the end of the maneuver they could try, and what I think is going to happen is this. Here's the parallel. The 1980 Democratic primaries, it was Carter versus Kennedy. So the way that all played out was Kennedy's challenging Carter, and the Iran embassy siege happened at the start of that campaign. So Carter was at 25%. His approval rating was 25%. Kennedy gets in. This guy's weak. I'm going to beat him in the primaries. Okay, the Iran embassy siege happens. Everybody rallies around the president. Carter wins the first half of the contest, just runs the board. Everybody rallies around the president. Then everybody forgets about that. Carter goes back to 25%. Kennedy wins all the late contests, and every Democrat says, we're screwed if we stick with Carter. Why don't we go with Kennedy? Here's the problem. Carter has the majority of delegates. So how do we stop him at the convention if he's sure to lose in the fall? Which is, I think, the conversation Republicans will have this summer if Trump comes in with 1237. What they came up with was they said, okay, we can put an initiative on the floor at the convention in the summer of 1980 that makes delegates, so the delegates are all bound to vote for Carter. First night of the convention, we're going to put a rule on the floor that says every delegate here is hereby freed from any commitment from any state primary or caucus and can vote their conscience. So they had to flip 500 Carter supporters. And if they pull that off, Kennedy then wins the convention as the nominee. They flipped like 200 of them. It didn't work out. But I think even if Trump clears 1237,
Reince is going to change the rules.
Well, I don't know if it's Reince, but I think he's under the microscope for those 6 weeks. And if you got polls showing him still down 25-30% to Hillary Clinton, there'll be a movement to do something like that. I don't know if it'll work. I doubt it'll work. But I think that'll be the story of the summer. So there still will be suspense even if he goes in there with 1237.
Is this the most exciting election in the history of modern history of politics?
It's no Dole Clinton.
Yes. No, this is the problem every year. We're like, this is the most important election of your lifetime. The stakes have literally never been higher. And like some years we're lying. Like 2014, we were lying. Like,
but Antonin Scalia dying does make it.
This one really. I mean, you've got like possibly the first woman president versus like the thing that crawled out of the misogynist id of America. Like this actually is.
But how do you really feel, Jess? Like, how do you really feel?
I'm ambivalent.
That?
You're talking about Ted Cruz, right?
Sure.
Is Ted Cruz worse?
I think he'd be a worse president.
You think he'd be worse than Trump?
I think he'd be worse for what progressives care about.
Because Trump wouldn't care about gay
marriage. I think Trump would.
Trump thinks we shouldn't die
in the street. Foreign policy scares the shit out of me with Trump. Domestic, I think he would follow polls and the wind. Right. And actually,
people generally like healthcare. They generally like gay people.
Yeah, and wouldn't be that bad. Foreign policy scares the fuck out of me that like he would think the Chinese food was bad and just go like, let's send some nukes that way. What do you mean we can't call them back? Oh, fuck. Like.
Oh, well. Okay, well, I think we need to end this.
I think it's time to wrap it up.
Let's end on nuclear holocaust.
Yeah, we're just
Trump is going to get a bad Chinese delivery from DuPont Circle and call in the nukes. Thank you guys for coming. Let's give it up for Nathan Mann as Barack Obama. Woo! Our panel, Anthony King, Jess McIntosh, and Steve Kornacki.
The lovely Charlie Todd.
We have a podcast, so check us out.
Please like our podcast, rate our podcast,
yeah, review
leave some
our
good
podcast.
Comments or yep. bad ones, but let's just stick to the good ones.
So this has been recorded. It'll be online, and we also do some in our apartment. I'm sorry. Everything you said has been recorded. And we also do podcasts in between our shows. Our next show is at the end of May. I don't remember, like May 30th or something.
Who
so
knows?
Come back
Who
to
knows?
That.
And but listen, we're releasing another one next week,
in
too.
A couple, yeah.
Soon. Just subscribe, and you'll get them.
So please join us for a fourth beer in the bar. Thanks, everybody.
Thank
and
you.
Vote in midterm elections.
Vote, vote, vote.
Cody and Charlie and a few of their friends chug a couple beers and talk politics. It's better when you do beers in.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.